Jesus didn't call us to be the sugar of the world. He called us to be the salt of the earth.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
In a nation that has seemingly frittered away its Christian inheritance of liberty, is there any hope for the future for our children and our grandchildren?
And I think of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that lives have been changed.
Find out how we can live faithfully as the church in Babylon.
So what we need to do is to lovingly help people see their sin and then show them the matchless, undeserved, glorious grace of God.
Join us now for Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. How are we called to live as Christians in a post-Christian, post-modern America? There is hope. Throughout May, we've been looking at the church in Babylon. On today's program, you'll discover how we can transform our culture and what role you and I have in that. And we'll be joined later by one of the world's most respected pastors, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And we begin by looking at the powerful impact faithful Christians like you and me can have just by sharing our faith. Our story takes place at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, founded by D. James Kennedy.
I'm telling you, America is going to be changed.
Thank you. It's going to be done by Christ and His Word and His Holy Spirit and His Gospel. But it is our job to tell Him, not somebody else's.
Well, it was in 1994 that our family moved to Fort Lauderdale, and we came to Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, really not knowing what to expect. Teenage years are awkward and hard and challenging, I mean, full of curiosity and doubts and really discovering who you are and what life is all about, and it can be a very confusing time. And I remember thinking that there had to be more to life than this. But it was through visiting the church, getting connected with its youth ministry programs, its youth musical programs and youth choirs that I was invited to a mission trip to the Bahamas.
He came home one afternoon and said there was a retreat going to Eleuthera, and he wondered if he could go. Sandra and I talked about it. She said, I don't think we have the money to send him on this retreat. And I said, he really needs to go. We're going to send him. We'll get the money. So he went to the retreat, and that retreat was the real focal point of our entire lives.
It was on that trip to the Bahamas in 1994 that I heard the gospel for the first time. And the lights went on, and everything just made sense about life and who I was and where I was going and who God was and what His plan was for my life. And that sent me on a journey that changed not only my life, but the entire lives of my family as well.
It changed his life. He was absolutely shaken as he accepted Christ into his life.
It was other students and youth leaders that were on that trip that were sharing what they had learned in Evangelism Explosion. I had no idea that they were using EE. You know, I just was hearing about God and what Jesus had done for me on the cross. So naturally, I wanted to know how to share Jesus as well. I'd come to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I wanted to know, how could I share this with friends and family members?
Robert asked me if I had a few minutes to bounce some questions. He had a project in school and needed somebody to bounce these questions off. I said, absolutely. Well, I've always told people that religion, spirituality to me, was a big puzzle on a gymnasium floor with none of the pieces touching. Robert went through the whole evangelism explosion presentation. At the end, he said, "Dad, does this make sense to you?" I said, "Absolutely." And that's the point in my life when all those puzzle pieces came together.
He committed his life to Christ. My mom committed her life to Christ as well. And the same journey that I had begun a year previously, they began as well.
He spoke for Westminster Support Sunday, one Sunday, and he gave a message on Westminster is striving to raise the Christian leaders for the 21st century.
May we have your help as Westminster Academy is striving towards developing Christian leaders for the 21st century. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Robert. Very articulately said. Maybe he ought to pray that the Lord might want to use him as one of those Christian leaders of the 21st century, perhaps right here where I'm standing.
It was after the service that Dr. Kennedy came up to me and asked me if I had ever considered the ministry.
And I believe from that day on, Dr. Kennedy became a direct mentor to him.
And it was really his affirmation of the call and of the gifts that he saw in my life that took me on a path of thinking through what would life look like committing myself to full-time vocational ministry. And so I really see that as a pivotal moment in my life and in my calling, where God used his affirmation and his words of encouragement to me to confirm something I had been wrestling with internally.
The Lord worked all this out. I mean, we look back, our whole family's life was totally changed by the Lord's direction. The fact that we even came to Carl Ridge Presbyterian Church, the fact that we encountered Dr. Kennedy, the fact that we encountered EE, and what a marvelous program that has been for people all over the world.
Dr. Kennedy's vision back in the 1960s that what would a church look like if not only the preacher was committed to sharing the gospel, but what if every single person sitting in the pew knew with confidence how to share the good news of Jesus Christ? And to see that vision turn into what we now know today as Evangelism Explosion, where adults and students and now even children know how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, if it was not for that amazing vision so many years ago, I wonder what my life would look like. And I think of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that lives have been changed because somebody just like them, at the same stage of life like them, another student, another colleague, another neighbor, had the confidence to share Jesus because of their training in Evangelism Explosion. It is truly a phenomenon unlike this world has ever seen.
How do we live in a culture that perceives our light as darkness? That's the question.
How will you respond faithfully when faced with the transgender phenomenon, growing socialism, and false gospels? Dr. Erwin Lutzer lays out a roadmap to navigate these challenges and more in his book, The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be a Light in the Darkness.
What are those elements that are needed for a church to actually survive in Babylon, and not just survive, but also thrive in Babylon?
Contact us today to receive your copy of The Church in Babylon. This book will help equip you to stand for God in a culture that rejects Him.
My friend and pastor, Rob Pacienza, is just one of countless examples of those whose lives were transformed by the faithful proclamation of the gospel. Indeed, I too came to a saving faith in Christ through the ministry of Dr. D. James Kennedy decades ago, and my life was completely changed. I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad's impact through evangelism explosion is almost impossible to measure.
That's true, Frank. But he'd be the first to tell you that it's the message that transforms. And all we have to do is be faithful to pass it along. My dad never tired of sharing the gospel wherever he went. Even up to the final days of his ministry, he was out on the streets of Fort Lauderdale going to people's homes to sit down and personally share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. He knew that all of our other work to reclaim America was vain without the gospel. My dad's life had been utterly transformed by the good news, and he felt he couldn't help but share that news with everyone else he met. And because the gospel transformed him, my father also knew that it could transform entire cultures and even the world. He shares more in this portion of his stirring call to faithfulness, Salt and Light.
Our Savior said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world." Salt and light, twin qualities that every Christian should have, and in fact, at least to some degree, every Christian does have. Today I'd like to focus our attention on the first of those, the fact that we are to be the salt of the earth. Amazing. A handful of people standing beside a lake in a nondescript corner of the Roman Empire, and Jesus says to them, here, this little group of people, "You are the salt of the earth." And yet, amazing as it may seem, this astonishing statement and prophecy has turned out to be true, that Christians, the followers of Jesus Christ, have in fact proved to be, more than anyone else, indeed, the preservatives of decency and morality in the world. An incredible statement to just a few people way back then. And that's what salt does. It stands with feet spread and hands on hips, arms akimbo, across the threshold that leads to all of the purity and decency and morality that exists in the world, and it says to everything that would corrupt, everything that would pollute, everything that would decay, it says, "Thus far, and no farther shalt thou go." And that's what we ought to be doing if we are the salt of the earth. Jesus didn't call us to be the sugar of the world. He called us to be the salt of the earth. The Christian indeed is called upon to hate sin, but he is ever called upon to love the sinner and to pray for him and to seek his well-being and to witness to him. Though sometime, for some astonishing reason, those sinners don't welcome that witness because it smarts, it stings, it irritates because of their wounds. But nevertheless, though we may be rejected, we are called upon to bear that kind of a positive witness for Jesus Christ. And let me say lastly that salt also makes you thirsty. You've heard the cliche, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I've said many times that any horse you can lead to water, I can make drink. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, and I don't know a whole lot about horses. But I'm quite certain if you take a salt tablet and put it in one cheek and another one and put it in the other cheek, you just better get out of the way or you're going to get water splashed on you. That horse is going to get thirsty. And that's what Christians ought to do. We ought to make the world thirsty for the water of life.
thirsty for the way of Christ, thirsty for righteousness and holiness and goodness, thirsty for the real thing. We've been told that Coke is the real thing. Christ is the real thing. He's the real joy, the real peace, the real love, the only real thing that can fill the empty hearts of men. And that's what Christ calls all of us to be. Make people thirsty for the water of life, and then give them a drink. Give them a drink of that water of life. Share with them the glad tidings, that sparkling, bubbling well of water that Christ offers to us of life everlasting. Share the good news of the gospel with them. Ah, dear friend, I would hope that you will resolve in this coming year that you are going to be the salt of the earth for Christ's sake.
As Dr. Kennedy shared, we Christians are called to be salt and light in our world. That can be intimidating in a culture where darkness is celebrated and the salt of Christian witness is considered hate speech by some. But we need not be discouraged. For one more time this month, we are joined by my friend Dr. Erwin Lutzer, author of the new book, The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be a Light in the Darkness. He recently sat down with me here in our studio to discuss the mandate to take the cross of Jesus Christ into the world. The cross, preaching the cross, is countercultural. It's even counterintuitive, isn't it?
You think of Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is preaching on Mars Hill, and what do the Athenians say? He has come to preach some strange thing. And that's what we are preaching when we preach the cross of Jesus Christ. It is strange to the world. Yeah. Why is it strange? I was preaching on this the other day and asked the question, is believing the gospel easy or difficult? On the one hand, it's very easy because salvation has been paid for by Christ for those who believe. So it's very easy. But it is very difficult. Because what you are admitting is that I bring nothing to the table but my need. Right. That's my contribution. People say, well, what's my contribution in salvation? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It is your sin. Thank you very much. That's what you bring to the table. God does all the rest. So when we come to Jesus, we're not coming to be made better. We are coming to be made alive.
Right.
We are not coming simply for help, but we are coming indeed that we might be transformed. And in that act of humility, God meets us. And one of the reasons I wrote about false gospels is the gospel of permissive grace, because it intends to get people saved without them recognizing the depth of their sin.
Yeah.
And I quote a theologian who said this: grace is not sweet until sin is bitter. So what we need to do is to lovingly help people see their sin and then show them the matchless, undeserved, glorious grace of God. That's our privilege. So people like the grace side. What they don't like is the sin side. And unless people see themselves as sinners, they will never get saved.
We're called to witness. We're called to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks and do it with gentleness and respect. We're called to make disciples as well. We do all this, though, in our weakness, don't we?
Everything is done as Christians in our weakness because our strength comes from the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus was crucified in weakness. If you talk to our Islamic friends, they will tell you that that's one of the reasons they can't believe on Jesus, is what a weak man. There he is on the cross. He's suffering. What they don't realize is that this was God's most blessed moment. Jesus came to us in weakness, still being king on the cross, forgiving the penitent man who was dying next to him. But this represents the fact that God isn't just a despot who's in heaven spitting out orders at us, but he actually descended into our pit, so to speak. Most religions say, we'll give you a ladder. You're dealing with your addictions. You're dealing with your sin. You're dealing with your despondency. Here's a ladder. Crawl out. But we can't crawl out. One step forward, two back. Jesus said, I descend, and I not only give you a ladder, I'll pick you up, put you on my shoulder, so to speak, and I will rescue you from your sin. And that's the uniqueness of Christ. There is no one else like him. No other religion has a savior. They all have gurus. Do this, do that. This is the way to live. But it doesn't take care of your past. It doesn't answer the guilt question. It doesn't answer the question of emptiness in your life. Jesus is the only one who is qualified to be a savior, bring us to God, and declare us as perfect as he himself is. There's nobody out there like Jesus.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
So great to be with you, and God bless you. And thanks for your partnership in ministry.
As you've just heard, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful message. It's one we need not be ashamed of. If we love our children and our grandchildren, the absolute best thing we can do for them is to propagate the Christian message, sharing it with them and with those whom they live among. That's exactly what we do through D. James Kennedy Ministries, and we need your help to continue that work. Dr. Erwin Luther has just explained how important it is to take the cross into the world. We need to do that as individuals, and we can do it powerfully when we band together to use media resources like television. If you are able to give a generous tax-deductible donation to help us continue this important work, I would like to send you Dr. Luther's vital new book as my thanks. It's called The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be Light in the Darkness. And Erwin Luther says it may be the most important book he's ever written. Contact us right away with a generous donation, and we will send it to you as our thanks. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. This is the book for the times in which we live. It's a manual for faithful Christians to understand what's happening around them, from transgenderism to the immigration crisis, and to face it with biblical truth. I believe this book should be in the hands of every Bible-believing Christian in America. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book plus the exclusive DVD program, Shining Light in a Dark World, featuring an extended interview with Dr. Erwin Luther on these and many more topics. You saw just a slight portion of all Dr. Luther had to say in our discussion a few minutes ago. Get the rest of our conversation covering topics from false gospels facing the church to the threat of radical Islam. In this exclusive DVD program, which makes an excellent companion to the book, we will send you the book, The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be Light in the Darkness, as our thanks for your generous donation. And we'll include the special DVD program, Shining Light in a Dark World, as our thanks for your donation of $50 or more. And as you donate, you will be helping us to take the gospel out into the world through powerful, but quite frankly, expensive media outlets like the Lifetime Channel. So please, write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. As we look at the state of our nation, it would be easy to become discouraged as transgenderism, same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, and a host of other evils run rampant. The Christian witness is marginalized, with the shock troops of so-called tolerance working overtime to punish Christians for acting according to their consciences. But at the same time, there is actually much reason to be encouraged. In God's sovereignty, His kingdom grows in unexpected ways. In fact, the greatest and most decisive act of history, the foundation stone of the kingdom of God, looked like a defeat. As Jesus hung on the cross, even His own followers despaired, because they did not yet understand the nature of the kingdom. In that act of sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, substituted Himself in your place and mine. He suffered the punishment for your sins, breaking the hold of sin and death. The Apostle Paul tells those who put their faith in Christ that God the Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We might not always perceive it with the naked eye, but Jesus Christ has ushered in a new kingdom over which He reigns. He will win the battle. Our labors for His kingdom are not in vain. So if you have not already, I urge you today, turn from your sins and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, even where you sit, and trust Him when He says, "Behold, I am making all things new." D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Our ultimate allegiance is to God, not the state. And that is a direct threat to these statists and these fascists.
I may not be able to do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, that I will do.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.